Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Well, we got a guy that might have a few stories as well.
Yeah.
We've grabbed John Clausen from Ethnos 360. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm great this morning. How are you?
Great. All right, what's in a name? Tell us about the ministry.
So, Ethnos 360 Aviation, we started out as New Tribes Mission.
Okay.
And through the years, we've started recruiting missionaries from the tribes that we've actually planted churches in. And so we're expanding with Native missionaries. And we decided to change the name to include those people as well, because we don't just represent the West anymore.
Right.
And it was a burden for a lot of those people to have our Western mindset and control. And so our ethnic missionaries around the world,
yes.
Ethnos 360,
got it.
Have the opportunity to partner with us through a new entity called Global Partners, and that is why we have changed our name to Ethnos 360.
That's you know, and
makes sense to me.
That's the way. That's a wonderful way to grow a ministry, is when you go to a new place, grow a homegrown person there, wherever it is, because they know more than we could really probably ever learn about the culture.
And that's true. Actually, our big banner that we have, I hope you guys can see it eventually, is actually a tribe that's the cousins of a tribe where we planted a church. We planted the church, and the leaders that we established in the church said, we have cousins on the other side of the mountain that need to hear about Jesus. They have to hear about this. And so they were like, we'll go around the mountain and we'll tell them. And they figured out this schedule, and we'll go 2 weeks, and then we'll come back, and you can water my plants, and then I'll go. And they had this idea. And our helicopter pilot, Brian, said, we'll fly you.
Wow.
And they're like, what? And he says, yeah, this is the Philippines. There's a basketball court in every village. And it's just big enough
to put our... It's like a helipad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the perfect size, and then they're flat. And so we did. And now we have a new church plant as a result of the first church plant on the other side of the mountain in the Philippines.
Well, this is great. Wow. So, John, you are a pilot.
That's correct. Yes. A helicopter pilot.
Oh, you're a helicopter pilot,
okay.
Too.
Yes.
All right.
Innately
we were just talking about
unstable.
That.
Unstable.
Yeah. That's, we're never going to forget that, and we're probably never going to fly in a helicopter again.
After
that conversation. You have to be super talented to be able to do that. I mean, I'm not giving you false props here. That's for real.
So when I started flying helicopters, I was told you have to be smart enough to be a helicopter pilot and crazy enough to want to be one.
Yeah, that's the second part of it.
Well, I'm thinking in a plane, you could get to a fixed wing. You could get to a place mm-hmm. where you could just sort of sit back and watch in some places anyway, but never with a helicopter.
Right. Like you said, they're innately unstable, and so you're always on the controls. Even with the autopilot that we have equipped in our aircraft now, the autopilot only does so much, and mm-hmm. so you have to monitor very carefully what's going on.
Wow.
So, how did you end up being a helicopter pilot, and how did you end up with Ethnos 360?
Now, that is truly the work of God. So, back in 2004, I was at a missions conference and was given a charge. You know, some people out there are being called to be missionaries right now, and God tapped me on the shoulder. He said, that's you, John. And I'm like, you've got the wrong guy. And he said,
just
no,
like
I don't.
Just like he did with Moses, right?
It felt like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, God, like, what do you want me to do? Like, I have an interest in aviation. I have no real other talents, though. And he said, you know.
Helicopter.
Right. And so I talked with a lot of guys, and they said, if you've ever thought about helicopters, go helicopters. So I packed up my bags. I moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Floated student loans, and learned to fly helicopters. And it was an awesome experience. And then the stock market crashed in 2008, left me high and dry, couldn't find a job. And I started driving trucks, and I started supporting missionaries. I'm like, God, I love to give money away to missionaries. Like, this brings me so much joy. Like, but I don't have enough money to give away. I need more money. And I was like, oh, but I'm a pilot. Like, I should get back into aviation. So I looked at the market, and I got back in touch with one of my friends who worked for Send North as a pilot. And 6 months later, he walked through my door, and he says, John, were you thinking about being a missionary pilot still? And I'm like, if God opens the doors. And every door started opening.
Wow.
3 weeks later, I'd filled out an application to Ethnos 360 Aviation, and started the dialogue with them. Through the year, I asked some questions. They invited me down for an interview. I said, I'm not qualified. They said, that's fine. Take the next year and get your hours that you need. We need 500 hours pilot command time as a helicopter pilot, which is a lot.
Yeah.
It's about 3 years experience, which I didn't have. And I got a job the next year. After 10 years of trying to get jobs, God said, oh, you need a job? Here's five offers.
Wow.
Pick one. And so...
it's like feast or famine, right?
It really was.
Yeah.
But again, God was opening those doors and making
it very... He was timing this perfectly.
Yeah. Perfectly.
But it can be agonizing, though,
yeah.
Can't it? I think all of us would agree with that. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That in-between time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I interviewed... and was accepted in January of 2020. And I was so excited. And they said, all you need to do is keep the job you have and we'll bring you into training in the fall. And I think we all know what happened in March of 2020, and I lost my job.
Oh man, no. Thank you, COVID-19.
Yeah.
And I was devastated, but God was like, I still have your back. I still...
Yeah.
Care about this, and I want you to be a pilot in my Great Commission. And one night I was driving and I got a call at 9 o'clock at night, and I got a job that night flying in Texas. I got the rest of the hours that I needed to go to training.
Wow.
God connects
even
the dots.
Even plagues can't stop you.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Well, plagues can't stop God.
That's right.
I'm glad you clarified that, because that's absolutely right. John Clausen is with us from Ethnos 360. What is the mission behind what you guys do?
So we are church planters and Bible translators, and our goal is a thriving church for every people group on the face of the planet.
Amen. That's a beautiful goal.
It is, absolutely.
I love that.
So, do you do any translation work too?
I don't. I took some translation courses in our training program, and it gave me a great appreciation for how hard translation work is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, John's one of those highly talented guys who flies helicopters, and if we have a running theme this morning, it's
innately unstable.
That is what it
the
is to fly a helicopter.
And the craft.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I think that was kind of a slam. I'm not sure.
He agrees 100%.
He's like, I identify with that remark.
That's right.
I do.
All right. So let's talk about stories. Share a story. You've had some time to think.
Yeah. So I'm in pre-field. So I have not been to the field yet. I'm headed to Papua New Guinea in July.
Ooh,
so
it's coming up.
I don't have any stories from my personal experience on the field, but we do what's called scenario-based training. And so one of our pilots got a call one day, and he looked at the schedule and said, this is crazy. And then he did it, proving it was possible. And so I was given a very similar scenario in my training, and I got to plan it all out. And so the overarching idea is that we have a conference where we have pastors from multiple villages that all need to be in the same location for a conference. But we also have to transport some goods into that area so that there can be food. And so I was told, here's who needs to be where and when. Have fun. And I looked at it and I said, there is no way that this is possible. And my instructor said, it is.
Oh.
And that was about all he told me. And so I had to sit down, and I had about 12 hours to plan the flights. It was 13 different flights of between 10 and 5 minutes apiece. And I had to have them all completed by noon.
Wow. Okay, no problem.
So that's loading, unloading, yeah, everything.
That's right. Yeah. Fuel planning, refueling. Yeah.
Were you just a little bit stressed out?
I found out after the fact that the point of the scenario is to stress the pilot out and see what he does.
Okay. mission accomplished.
Congratulations. Yes.
And so to put an extra wrench in this plan, I had dropped off friends in a mountain range 2 days prior for a camping trip. So my first assignment was to fly from our base about 10 minutes out, pick up the first load of the campers, and bring them back to our base. And then I had to take two guys from our base and drop them off on a mountaintop. Not a nice mountaintop. I had about 18 inches on either side of the skids, and about 3 feet forward and backwards was my target that I had to hit.
How do you handle that if you're in a tight place with the blades and everything?
So the blades are about 11 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And so you pick a place where you either have enough lateral clearance or enough vertical clearance to get in.
Yeah.
And so this place had vertical or lateral clearance because it's the top of a mountain, but it was in a little bit of a saddle. And so it's just far enough to the right of the shoulder of the mountaintop that you can get in.
Wow.
I know, you're stressing Kate out right now.
I'm sweating just thinking about it again.
I'm heading in that direction myself.
And so I dropped these two guys off, and now I have to go back to base and pick up 600 pounds of cargo. Now, it's a Honda Civic-sized helicopter. 600 pounds of cargo and me is 780 pounds, and I only have about 800 pounds of useful load, which means I have to consider how much fuel I have on board.
Yes.
As well. And so I can only take off with that weight with just over 50 pounds of fuel, or sorry, 50 gallons of fuel, which is not enough to complete the rest of my day. So now I take and...
Wherever you land, you have to gas up too.
That's right. Okay. So I have to have my fuel with me, or it has to be stationed already.
This is called a nightmare.
A little bit. A little bit. But it gets worse because my...
Oh, does it really?
My flight instructor had the night before prepped 600 pounds of cargo to put in the helicopter, but he had not put it in the helicopter yet. He didn't know if it would fit, but he didn't tell me that.
Oh.
So I arrive, and he starts wheeling out all of my cargo, and I panicked. I froze up. And he looked at me, and he says, "Identify your first problem." And I said, "I have too many things to go in the helicopter." He says, "Okay, good. Now you can start." And it turns out that one of our guys was hiding behind one of the doors with a huge roll of bubble wrap. Like one of those industrial size Amazon packing facility rolls of bubble wrap.
Yeah.
To help induce panic.
Was it successful?
No, it wasn't, because I was already panicked to the point that it wasn't going to help, and so he was pushed back behind the
door. You know what I call
the
story? But wait, there's more.
Yep. And so I ran the cargo up and had to unload it all by myself, and then I had to take off and go back to where I'd left my friends and pick up more of my friends and their camping gear and fly them down the mountain, and then I had to go by myself with very little fuel. And so the helicopter flies differently when you're by yourself with little fuel. It floats a lot more. It's harder to get out of the sky. And so I had to land on this mountaintop again, pick up my two friends that I had left there, take them to where the camping site was, pick up the rest of that camping crew and fly them down the mountain. And then I had to do a flyby of where I had dropped off my 600 pounds of stuff to see if the missionaries had picked it up yet. And if they hadn't, I had to go get it. Well, because there's nobody on the mountain, obviously my 600 pounds of cargo is still sitting there.
Oh.
So now I've got two friends and 600 pounds of cargo, which take up the whole back seat. Now I have to decide, do I stop and get the cargo, or do I have to get my friends off the mountain first?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, the cargo can sit there overnight. If the weather comes in,
your friends can't.
My friends are stuck.
Yeah.
So I picked up my friends, and I took them down the mountain, and it was noon. I was 45 minutes behind schedule. And
calm down, Kate. Calm down. It's okay.
And this is a training scenario. And we set it up again to measure how pilots react to stress, but also to prove that like this happens in the bush reasonably frequently.
Yeah.
That we're moving people from here to there and there to here. And it's timing and fuel. And the provision of God that makes it all happen.
Wow.
And some days you'll be 45 minutes late.
And yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's just going to have
to
be.
That's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have to be flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken. Oh, man. John, thanks for sharing some time with us this morning. We appreciate what you do, and we're excited to see God's activity and work in your life as you serve Him. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.